This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. Please open your King James Bible to the beautiful book of Ruth, chapter 4, verse 1, where we left off last time. Ruth, chapter 4, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, on April 1st at 5 p.m., which is a Sunday, to celebrate our Passover lamb. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. My twin friend Scott Merson and I are preparing a masterpiece of the word and pictures to inspire you. April 1st at 5 p.m. here at my school. We're calling it The Cross, the Blood, the Heart. Also come every Sunday, 5 p.m. for the Word in Prayer. Come on Wednesdays, 6 p.m. for the Word in Prayer. And stop by on Thursdays from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Scott meets me here and we pray for the sick and cast out demons and all kind of fun things like that. And now, the beautiful book of Ruth, chapter 4, verse 1. The book of Ruth is entitled Nearest Kinsman Redeemer. And to understand what's happening in this book, you have to understand Deuteronomy 25, which I taught you last time. It is God's law for kinsman redeemer. He said that if a man and woman marry, and the man dies, and they have no children, no seed to carry on that seed line, that the nearest kinsman to the man who died is to marry the woman, to carry on the seed line. Well, that's what happened with our beautiful heroine, Ruth. Her husband Mahlon died, but her mother-in-law, Naomi, found out that there was a wonderful kinsman redeemer, Boaz, in whose grain field Ruth had been gleaning grain, that he was the nearest kinsman redeemer, so he was to marry her. This was the law. And so Naomi sent Ruth down to the threshing floor, and so Ruth asked Boaz to marry him. Now that seems rather bold even in our time, but that was God's law. It wasn't about sex, it wasn't about getting a husband, it was God's law to prolong the seed line. But Boaz knew something Ruth and Naomi did not know. He knew there was another kinsman redeemer a little bit closer. We're going to call him, and the Bible will call him such an one. And he was closer to the deceased Elimelech, Naomi's husband, than was Boaz. So Boaz says, I want to marry. I love you, Ruth. Everybody, let's just go home. I'm going to get up early in the morning, says Boaz, and I'm going to go talk to this nearest kinsman redeemer, such an one, that's what I'm calling him, and maybe he'll change his mind and then pass that on down to me. So we left off there, and we pick it up at chapter 4, verse 1. Boaz goes now down to the gate. The gate is the judgment. It's sort of like the people's court. And there's where the jurors would meet. And he goes down there early in the morning. He's the first one there.
Boaz up to the gate and set him down there. And behold, the kinsman of Boaz spake, came by.
Now look at that. Just happened to be as soon as Boaz gets up early, goes down to the gate, the judgment hall. Here comes that kinsman redeemer, the nearest one, nearer than Boaz to Ruth. Here he comes walking by. Nothing happens by chance. God is totally in charge. You think it's chaos in your life. If you're obeying and you're trusting, everything's working in great order. God's in charge. God ordered his steps.
To whom he said, such an one, turn aside and sit down here.
See, I told you his name was such an one. Boaz called him such an one. He doesn't even get a name. He said, come sit down here.
And he turned aside and sat down.
So he obeyed. Apparently they respected Boaz a lot. Okay, yes, sir.
Two, And he took 10 men of the elders of the city.
Now this would be the jury, Deuteronomy 25. I taught you last week they have to have 10 citizens to be witness to whatever business is about to transpire.
And he said, sit you down here, and they sat down.
Okay, everything's in order. Boaz is going strictly by God's law. The Redeemer, the nearest kinsman Redeemer. He loves Ruth, but there's a monkey wrench here. Somebody else is closer in kinship.
Number 3, and he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, who is come again out of the land of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech. And I fell to advertise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and the elders of my people.
I thought about advertising this land.
If thou wilt redeem it, regain it.
But if you want to buy it, Boaz says to such and one, you have the legal right. You are the nearest kinsman redeemer. You can redeem the land.
But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me.
But please let me know if you don't want to. Boaz is probably sweating bullets by now.
That I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee.
You're the nearest kinsman redeemer to the Naomi and to Ruth, but I'm the next one. So if you don't want to redeem this land, I will, says Boaz.
And he said, I will redeem it.
Uh-oh. Such an one, that one said, okay, I'll redeem it. Uh-oh, there goes Ruth. Now, wait a minute. Boaz is wiser than serpents and harmless as dove. God's in this plan. Do you know Boaz is in Jesus' genealogy as well as Ruth? So God's hand's going to intervene here.
5. Then saith Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou mayest buy it also of Ruth.
What you don't know, such an one, if you buy the land, then you also have to marry Ruth. Whoa!
The Moabite is the wife of the dead.
Oh, she married Mahlon, and they had no children. Now such an one, that kinsman, knows the law. Everybody lived by the Deuteronomy 25. That means that if he and Ruth marry, such an one and Ruth marry, and have a son, he can't name the son after himself. He has to name him after Ruth's husband, deceased husband. God's very careful to prolong the seed line. It's very important that every seed be pure. God loves every race. He loves every child. But he said, everybody stay pure. Do not mix the seed. And he especially is concerned with Israel because the Messiah, God's son, is going to come through that lineage.
To raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. Verse 6, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it.
Thank goodness, I can't do that. I can't marry her. Now, he probably hadn't seen how beautiful she was, but he was kind of thinking about he'd like to have a son and carry on his own name, you know?
Lest I mar my own inheritance.
See, he knew the law. Everybody knew the law here.
Redeem thou thy right to myself.
You take over, Boaz. I'll give you the right to do that. Wow, look at that. Look at God working.
For I cannot redeem it. 7. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing.
Okay, there was a custom that they did. If the nearest kinsman redeemer said, I do not wish to redeem the land and marry the woman. And it's about to tell us what he did. So such an one, the nearest one, is changing his mind. And so he's the redeemer, but he's going to change his mind and pass it on to Boaz. So they have a ritual they do, and they've got the witnesses, and we're going to find out what he did.
But to confirm all things, a man took off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor.
So what he first did, if he's going to pass that privilege on to Boaz, he would take his shoe off. That's what he would do. What does that mean? A shoe has a soul. It meant that such an one, that man, was removing his soul from that property and from Ruth, and was moving his soul away from that situation. Incidentally, some years ago when President Bush was President of the United States of America, he was in the Mideast giving a speech, and somebody took the shoe off and threw it at him. He just really dodged it so beautifully. Reporter said, "How did it feel seeing that shoe come at you?" He said, "I saw his soul."
And this was the testimony in Israel.
So that's what he is. In other words, I'm moving my shoe. In other words, I'm changing. You understand?
Verse 8. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, "Buy it for thee." So he drew off his shoe.
Buy it for yourself, Boaz. Beside, I know, Boaz, you've fallen madly in love with Ruth. You go ahead and buy it. And to make it legal, he took his shoe off.
And there it was reported. And Boaz said...
Now Boaz is going to make a statement. Words have power.
Unto the elders and to all the people.
By this time it was like Fox and Friends. Everybody had gathered around. I mean, the whole neighborhood there. They're watching this show. This is the most exciting thing that ever happened in Bethlehem lately.
Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's.
All. Meaning like Ruth.
And all of that was Chilion's and Mahlon's.
Those were the two sons of Naomi and Elimelech that died.
Of the hand of Naomi. 10. Moreover, Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife.
To be my wife. Hallelujah.
To raise up the name of the dead unto his inheritance.
This is very important. Boaz is a man of God. Boaz knows that he is in the genealogy of the Messiah that would yet come. We know Jesus has come. And he knows that Ruth is in that genealogy, and that God had said to keep that seed line pure. We're all supposed to keep the seed line pure.
That the name of the dead be not cut off among his brethren, and the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. Verse 11. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses."
That's kind of like when we pray here in Trumpet of Truth, that we do some heavy-duty praying, and then I say, let's everybody say, "I agree in Jesus' name." That's what they just did. They all agree, and that he's going to get to marry Ruth. This is a happy story for them to begin their day.
The Lord make the woman that is come unto thine house like unto Rachel and like unto Leah.
They blessed Ruth. The people said, let her be blessed like God blessed Leah, and how God blessed Rachel. Leah and Rachel were sisters. Leah had 10 patriarchs, 10 of the sons, and Rachel had 2, Joseph and Benjamin. And they're the 12 patriarchs, the fathers of the 12 tribes, now as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. 10 of those tribes comprise the United States of America today. 2 of them comprise the land of Israel in Judah, and some are in England now. And what it was, he says, these two women, Leah and Rachel, by bringing in those 12 sons and then expanded, as he told Abraham, they're going to increase to be as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. Messiah's going to come through this lineage, the Lord Jesus. In other words, they built the house of Israel. And so they're asking that blessing on Ruth. Now they're going to ask another blessing for Ruth.
Which too did build the house of Israel, and did thou royally in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem.
Eventually they were famous in Bethlehem, because from the tribe of Judah, king line, and the tribe of Levi, priesthood, in Bethlehem of Judea, the house of bread, there was a babe wrapped there in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, the Son of God, baby Jesus, famous. Has anyone ever been so famous? Hallelujah, for your presence, Lord, we love you.
Verse 12. And let thine house be like the house of Perez.
Now they're going to say, Boaz and Ruth, let your house be like the house of Perez. Let me finish that little statement.
Whom Tamar bare unto Judah.
Now Judah was one of those 12 patriarchs. Leah was his mother. Judah had some sons, and the oldest son married Tamara. And Tamara was an Israelitish woman. Tamara knew her destiny. She knew that the tribe of Judah needed to be prolonged because that's the king line, and the Messiah would have to come through Judah as well as Levi. But it looked like Judah was about to be cut off because her first husband died, the son of Judah. And so she said, well, I need to marry the next one, kinsman redeemer law. So he gave her the second son, and he died. God took them both out. They weren't good people. Judah had a third son. Tamar said, according to the law of kinsman redeemer, let me have the third one so I can prolong the seed line of Judah. Judah would not do that. Now, Judah had a bad habit of going down and partying at sheep shearing time, and they would feast and get drunk as a skunk, and then would go with prostitutes. So, not because she was immoral, but to save the seed line. God works in mysterious ways, a little covert activity. Tamara disguises herself as a harlot and goes down there and sits by the wayside watching where Judah would be. He comes to her thinking she's a prostitute. He's drunk as a skunk. And so he goes into her, and then he says, uh-oh, I don't have any money. He thinks he's got to pay her. And she was working something else. She was getting that seed line going. And she said, okay, she said, give me your signet and give me your staff and come tomorrow morning, bring the money, and I'll give you your signet and your staff back. So the next morning he sobered up. He goes back there and he says, she's not there. And he asked the neighbors, where's that harlot that was there? They said there never was a harlot there. That woman's not a harlot. So he lost his staff and signet. However, as time went on, and Tamara lived in Judah's house with all the family, everybody began to realize she was with child. And Judah got mad, and he said, who is the man that did this? You're supposed to marry my other son if I ever get around to doing it. She said, I am with child by the man whose signet this is. I am with child by the man whose staff this is. And so he was humbled and he married her. And so the seed line continues. See, God is more interested in getting his plan done than all the things we think were so nice.
Of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. Verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife.
They got married.
And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception.
Immediately God opened her womb, and she conceived. God's in a hurry. He wants to get this thing on. He wants Messiah to come. He's in a hurry now. He's quickening things up because he wants us who are going to be saved to be with him.
And she bare a son.
And she bare a son, reminds us of Mary, wrapped his little baby in swaddling clothes. And she bare a son, and she called his name Jesus.
14. And the man said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord God this day who hath not left thee without a kinsman.
See, everything had gone wrong for Naomi. Her husband, two sons had died, and she thought she would live in poverty. Now she has a beautiful family, a wonderful son-in-law, daughter-in-law, and now she's about to be a grandmother, restored.
That his name may be famous in Israel.
Jesus' name sure is famous in Israel. See, they knew Messiah was coming. That's what this was all about. These are people that knew while they were on this earth that they were about that and not their daily passions or their daily things. That's why Ruth could do this. She said, if you could understand that your life is not about most of the stuff you put your energy in. You have a purpose and a plan, and it's God, and it's God, and it's God. And it should be 24 hours a day. And then you wouldn't get so caught up and wear yourself out on nothing. And these people did not. They knew their destiny.
15. And he shall be to thee a restorer of thy life.
Restorer of your life. Everything. Remember, she was so depressed and she thought it was all over. Mm-mm.
And nourisher of thine old age.
The Bible says that you go from strength to strength, that in old age you'll bear fruit. Listen to me, Christian. as the world called you older, you're supposed to bear more fruit as you get older. Did you know that? We don't teach that in the church. I'm talking Bible. I live Bible. Because you should have more wisdom. You should have more anointing. You should have more experiences fighting devils and demons. And you should have more courage and more love by now. And you should have more sense to know that the rest of the stuff that goes on in life isn't worth 2 cents. You're supposed to bear more fruit as you get older. You should be winning more souls. You should be having more visions. You should be telling more people about the Lord. It's not supposed to decrease. It should increase. Even in old age, you bear much fruit.
For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons. 16, and Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it.
A beautiful new baby was born. His name is Obed.
17, and the women, her neighbors, gave her the name, saying, there is a son born unto Naomi.
And Isaiah, for unto us a son is born, a king is given, Messiah. And see, these people were preserving the lineage so that that true son, the Lord Jesus, down in this pure pedigree could come and be our kinsman redeemer and redeem us from the curse of the law.
His name, Obed.
Obed.
18. Now these are the generations of Phares.
Now see, here it is. Phares, remember, that was the son of Tamar and Judah. Judah almost botched it. But this is in Jesus' genealogy, the king line.
And Phares begat Chorazin, and Chorazin begat Ram, and Ram begat Emmedon, and Emmedon begat Rechon, and Rechon begat Shalom.
Shalmon is one of the Israelite soldiers who hid in Rechab the harlot's house underneath the flax and was rescued by Rechab, and they married, and so Boaz was the son of Rechab. You say, a harlot? No, they just called her a harlot. She was a successful businesswoman. It was custom for when people would come to buy from other countries, they would stay in your house, and she had her roof so full of flax up there where she would weave the beautiful garments, and she actually hid two of the Israelites there. They were just jealous of her and called her a harlot. They said a woman couldn't do all of this. So there is Boaz. Shalmon and Rechab are his parents. Now, he and Ruth bear Obed.
21, and Shalom begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed. Verse 22, and Obed begat Jesse.
Jesse is the father of David. Don't you remember the prophet Samuel getting Jesse to line up all those sons? And he said, don't you have another son? He said, well, David out there just taking care of a few small sheep. David's going to be the king of Israel. Look at this. Obed, Jesse. Jesse is the father of David.
And Jesse begat David.
And you know what blind Bartimaeus said when he heard Jesus walking by? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Kinsman Redeemer, we have a story that fell into the ashes. All was hopeless here. Elimelech, Malan, and Chilion had died. There was no way for Naomi and Ruth to make it. But God resurrected them and sent them a kinsman redeemer. I can honestly say, and they all lived happily ever after. Boaz and Ruth and such and one and Naomi and Obed are all in heaven. And I know they've heard well done, because they fulfilled the purpose for which they were born. They fought to do it, but they did. Now that's the love story. What is this for you? The first thing you want to learn to do is you are in the promised land as long as you're saved and stay with Jesus. When trouble hits and there's a famine in the land, do not go to Moab. Do not go to a strange land. The Antichrist is about to come, and the world will think he is Jesus. Half the body of Christ will call him Jesus, and he will give you all the bread you want to eat. And so if you go to him, you've gone to Moab. Stay in the promised land. God will figure out a way to feed you. Wait for the true Christ. And then we see in this beautiful book the wonderful nobility of character of Ruth, of loyalty. If there's one thing we need in the body of Christ is loyalty. People speak so flippantly of the pastor behind their back, or go behind the pastor's back and don't bother to express what's going on when a project is being done, or email things, or one another. Loyalty. She said to her mother-in-law, I'll go where you go. Your people will be my people. Where you're buried, I will be buried. Your God will be my God. The nobility of loyalty. Let us be loyal. If you're going to be a friend, be a friend. Be a loyal friend. You don't text things behind people back and try to stir up trouble. And you don't try to break union and break rank. There's order. There's order. There's order in the church. And there's loyalty required. And then we see Ruth representing the very elect out in the field. And she's not getting the best. She's bringing in the gleaning, the throwaways, the castaways, the smelly ones, the homeless ones, the one nobody wants, the ones that can never put any money in your basket, the ones who will never give you any love or give you anything. They can't help you. You can help them. And we glean them in and we bring them into the beautiful love of Jesus. This is what we do. This is what the roots of the world do. And then we find in this story that there is only one kinsman redeemer. You cannot break what your grandfather did if he was in pornography or your father in pornography. But what can happen when it starts coming to you because you've had that exposure, you can break it then in the name of Jesus and on the grounds of the blood covenant. That can be broken and then it won't be handed down to your son. There is just one kinsman redeemer. His name is Jesus. And we find that he is a restorer. When all seems lost, Jesus restores. We were all lost in trespasses and sin. And our nearest kinsman redeemer came and redeemed us and gave us life again. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Christ, our Redeemer, has redeemed us from the curse of the law. God bless you. Next week, we'll begin a brand new book of the Bible. It'll be a surprise. But at this time, I usually have mystery moment questions and answers to help you understand the mystery. But because I needed a little extra time to close the book, I'm going to skip right away to Scott's stuff. So let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. What a beautiful description of his love.
Yeah, thank you. It's a beautiful love story, isn't it?
It is. It truly is. Mm-hmm.
David left his stuff in the cart. Zeke put his stuff in the bag. What's Scott's stuff?
The need of the hour. Someone is going to rise up and understand this. Some body of people is going to enter into it. I have conviction that this is the 11th hour message, that this is the message for the church today. In the troubled days that lie ahead, we are going to require all that God can give us and be to us and stand the test we are going through and will go through. You see, brethren, this blood covenant teaching, this relationship teaching, this ability to use the name of Jesus, this marvelous teaching of our identification and our privileges, is in the message for the coming days. It will fit us to meet the very forces of darkness. Do you know that Jesus, in the Great Commission, in the Gospel of Mark, did a peculiar thing? He said, "In my name ye shall cast out demons." I had not seen its significance. I know now that this means, in the last days, demons are going to become very prominent. Satan, knowing that his days are shortened, is coming to the earth with all his host. And we are going to pass into a period of spiritual conflict such as the church has never known. This will not only be persecution, but it will be demons breaking and crushing the spirit of the church in the individual. The church must learn the secret of standing against the host of darkness in the name of and through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord. That is so beautiful. Wow. And those demons are loose. The Euphrates River revelation.
They are. Such a time as this.
Pastor Murray used to say there's not one under every bush. Well, it wasn't when he was here, but they're under every bush now.
Right. Yeah.
Pastor Murray, thank goodness that you didn't have to fight them under every bush, but we do. I want to pray for those of you who are sick. Let's believe for your healing. Precious Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask, please, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. Let the healing heat of Almighty Lord Jesus Christ flow into your body right now. The top of your head, into your brain, your sinuses, your eardrums, both eardrums be healed, and the sinuses and the eyes and the skin and the gums and the teeth and the backbone, the spine, the hearts, the liver, the pancreas, the gallbladder, the stomach, the colon, the kidneys, the bones, the blood, the muscles, the tendons, the hips, the pancreas, the pelvis, the knees, the legs, the calves, the ankle, the feet, the toes, the arms, your skin, in Jesus' mighty name, breast be healed, and in Jesus' name, he sent his word and healed you. Hallelujah. That was released. Praise God. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. With Jesus' stripes you're healed. He sent his word and healed you. His word is life to those that find them and health to all their flesh, as Max read earlier in Proverbs. Thank you, Father. Now, all of you who were healed then, had a miracle there, feel free to call and tell me that. By the way, you can call and tell me you just enjoy the program. That would make me feel really good. If you listen and you want to just leave a message and say, I'm blessed by your program, I'd appreciate that. You don't have to be healed, but I'd like for you to be healed. Now, I want you to be saved. Anybody not saved, come on over. This is the water. Come on in. The water's fine. The water of life is fine. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Wash away all my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Wash away all my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Make me clean.
Make me clean.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
Use me. To bring many people.
To bring many people.
Into eternal life.
Into eternal life.
Through Jesus. Who is Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now, don't forget, on April 1st, that would be a Sunday at 5 p.m. here at my school, the cross, the blood, the heart. Scott and I are doing a special worship service for you, and we will have communion at the end of that, and we're going to try to make it very special, inspirational for you. And each Sunday, 5 p.m., each Wednesday, 6 p.m., Thursdays, 12 noon to 2 p.m., stop by, and Scott and I will pray for you. Now, until next time, I want you to remember that nothing is yours to keep. Anything you get, you're supposed to give it away. See, people don't get that. The reason you don't have enough is you don't give enough. I live by giving, and I always seem to, somehow it always comes back. And if you could just learn that and trust God on it. So that means also this truth that you learn. How selfish of you to eat it all up and stuff it inside yourself and not give it to someone else. Somebody's crying out there, starved to death for this truth. So go and tell. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock telling you to remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And he says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Along with my twin friend Scott Merson, this is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying, we love you, God bless you, God keep you, God make his face to shine upon you, and until next time, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
You've been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Life. that once was real and gave us strength where hopelessness won't prevail. And this life more abundantly. Your beauty, Lord, I know it captures me.
Eclipsed by glory. Jesus, oh, oh, how he loves us, how he loves us all.
For our transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds, we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice in the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved, we are saved.
He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our sins. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him.
By his wounds, we are healed. We are healed. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved, we are saved.
He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our sins. Punishment that brought us peace was upon him.
By his wounds we are healed. By his wounds. Can wash away my sin, nothing but the blood of
Jesus. Days we all were standing judgment for every single word that we have spoken. One of these days we all will stand before the Lord, give a reason for everything.
Shelter through the Cause he's your shelter through the hurricane. He's your peace when the world's insane. That's a promise that will never change. He'll cover you through whatever. Cause he's your shelter. He'll be your fortress in a time of need. He raised his child just to run to me. Cause he's your shelter through the hurricane. He's your peace when the world's insane. And that's a promise that won't ever change. He'll cover you through whatever. He'll cover you. Cause he's your shelter through the hurricane. He's your peace when the world's insane.
Your tears are the wages for things you've done, and all of those nights spent alone in the darkness of your mind. Give it up, let go. These are things you were never meant to shoulder. There is a river that washes you clean. There is a tree that marks the places you've been. Blood that was spilled, though not your own. For all of those tears, love will atone. The right to control the waves that empty out your life. But wild skies are the rays that break the shadows we design. Give it up, let go. These are things you were never meant. Give it up, let go. There is a river that washes you clean. There is a tree that marks the places you've been. Blood that was spilled, though not your own. For all of these things, love will atone. Turn in different ways. Most of the time we're simply hanging on. And under the signs of how we all behave, we might find the place where we